T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And a great call. Thanks. Is brought to you by Tri-State Kia Dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Fox Ridge Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. And by York Install Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58 in your program. Carl Banks, hello, Carl.
Hello, man. I was in the neighborhood and thought I'd stop by.
Now, there you go. Who's better than you, Carl?
Looking splendid as usual.
Indeed.
When did the NFC East go from this division stinks, what a joke, 8 wins may win the division, to the fact that half of the division represents the final four in the National Football
Eagles,
Conference.
Eagles, Cowboys, NFC Championship game? How about that?
That'd be interesting. That would be interesting.
Giant,
you know,
hell.
It just speaks to the requirement for endurance in a league, because people get hurt. The teams that jump out fastest, it's a matter of sustaining. And these guys, they fixed it. Dallas fixed it. They thought they had enough to fix it. They did. They won the division. The Philadelphia Eagles, they show championship character. They hang around long enough, and they get in. They're dangerous, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cowboys, they earned their right to be there. They won the division. But when you look at the field now, you say, well, let me see. Dallas plays great defense. The Philadelphia is pretty good defensively, even though they have their issues on the back end of their defense. But up front, they can stop the run and they can rush the passer. So those two teams are built to play in the playoffs. The ones that didn't, obviously, struggled offensively, struggled defensively, Washington Redskins, the New York Giants. But when you put them in comparison with the rest of the league, you look at what the teams are in the playoff do pretty well. Now, you got the elite offenses, the New Orleans Saints, Kansas City Chiefs, right? But then you start to look behind that, the character of a lot of these teams, including the Chargers, who I'm picking to go all the way.
Ooh, wow.
They play good defense. Now, I said this last Friday, but that's a team that I think are well-balanced. They play good defense. They're a tough-minded team. They've endured. They've dealt with adversity. And they travel well. So, and then I thought their biggest challenge to advancing to a Super Bowl was this past weekend. They got by that one. And that's the toughest defense they're going to face the rest of the playoffs. So I believe that the defenses are the ones that have to come on stronger at the end of the year.
We saw a lot of really good defense this week.
Yeah. Well, think
I
about
enjoyed it.
That 54-50 game is a distant memory
yeah,
now.
It is.
For now.
But the defenses, the teams with the defense, because some of these offenses have struggled early. It's the defenses that are keeping you in the game and giving you a chance to win. And if you talk about, you know, a failure of defense, I would say, and this is I'm not dissing the Chicago Bears, but it is what it is. 12 plays, 60 yards, the number one defense in football in a lot of categories. They gave up 12 plays, 60 yards, and Golden Tate was at the end of that drive.
You know, I want to throw a couple things in there. First of all, I want to go back to the Chargers. You could comment on both of them and say one thing about each game, and I want your feeling on it. One thing about the Chargers, and I like them too against the Pats, they cannot be as conservative against New England as they were in this game. They were very, very conservative. Now, maybe that's because of the team they were playing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But I thought they were too conservative.
They didn't have I mean, listen, Baltimore does that to you. Their defense is throttling. It will choke the life out of you because there's not a lot you can do. They're very good up front. They're sound on the back end of their defense. And they force teams to play ugly games on their terms. So I don't think they're going to see that type. I know they won't see that type of resistance in New England.
And the other thing, and you mentioned the Bears, and I thought that Jason Peters, the job he did on Khalil Mack yesterday was huge in his football game.
Well, I mean, listen, when he's healthy, he's as good as they come. I think he is probably better all around than Tyron Smith. Now, Tyron Smith is probably And Tyron Smith is probably more athletic, but when it comes to physically taking over a defender, Peters is as good as come because he's a nasty guy. He can roll great. So when he's healthy, he's as good as they come. And he's up there in age, too.
Yeah, no, he's been around.
They have stopped Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, and Khalil Mack from getting the quarterback when they have faced them three of the last four weeks. They have stopped some of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
And that's why they're the most dangerous team in the playoffs. Even though I don't think they'll beat the Saints, but they're gonna scare their way into the championship game.
You know,
scare people. Anyway.
Sure, it's amazing to look at Indianapolis for a few reasons. Mm. Number one, we didn't know about the health of Andrew Luck coming in.
Sure.
The head coaching situation was a mess. McDaniels takes the job. He walks away from it. Their offensive line has been consistently bad for years. And then they get off to a bad start. And then we see them against the Jets. Receivers can't hold on to footballs. They're a mess. And now with the way they've played over the last 11 games, they've played like the best team in the NFL.
I don't think
that's an overstatement.
Defense.
Yeah. And their offensive line.
And their offensive line.
No, their offensive line is really good, but they don't get in the shootouts now. Their defense plays well. Andrew Luck is making, and you can see from week one to where he was this past weekend, looks like he's gotten stronger. He's gotten more confident in his throws. They are a good team. They deserve to be there. But with Andrew Luck, they've devised an offense where he's not holding the ball a long time. A lot of timing routes in there. A lot of that back foot hit, the ball comes out. He'll struggle against some teams he'll be challenged. He won't struggle. But he'll be challenged against teams that can play man-to-man across the board. Dallas did it to him. And they gave him probably his worst game of the year. But there are not a lot of teams that can do it. But now he's in the tournament. Mm. He's going to face teams that says, okay, we just got to win this game. We're going to do whatever we have to do. Similar to what the Chargers did to Lamar Jackson. 2% of the league this year employed 7 defensive backs. I mean, 2% of the time.
Right. And they did it all day.
They did it 90% of the game.
Yep. It was incredible.
That's, because it's a one-game proposition now.
Sure, yeah.
So teams will do what they have to do to come up with a winning solution.
You know what jumped out at me from that Indy-Houston game, which is sort of being forgotten? It was the first game of the weekend. It wasn't that close.
That Deshaun Watson stunk in the game?
Not even that.
Sure. Forget
Deshaun Watson. He wasn't very good.
A lot.
But the best wide receiver in the NFL in 2018 was a non-factor because of Pierre Desir. I mean, he shut him down.
Was he healthy in this game, Hopkins?
I don't know. You know what?
He was not
a factor.
No, non-factor.
Isn't that stunning?
That is stunning.
It is because you can take team's best, and he somehow finds a way to get numbers and become productive for them, and he just didn't. They took him away.
No, they made Kiki Kuti beat them.
He had a good game.
He had a very good game, but DeAndre Hopkins, as the best receiver in 2018, he was a non-factor. So you're right about Watson. He wasn't great in this game, but I think the biggest surprise of all from the Houston offense was the fact that the best wide receiver was taken out of his game.
They took him right out of the game. You know, I got to get your take. Carl Banks is with us. Would you have made the move to Flacco in this game yesterday?
You know what? It's a different time. It is a different time in football. I think there is the concern with the psyche of players. And I think he considered whether or not Flacco was going to be a part of his future and said, you know what? I'm winning or losing with Lamar Jackson. Now, had it been 15, 20 years ago, he probably sits him and puts the other guy in, knowing he's not going to keep him next year. But he's saying, hey, I got to go. This is a rookie. He'll have a lot more opportunities. I got to win this game now, and we'll put him back in New England. But I just think he decided that's who he's going to go with. And, you know, good for the coach. He decided he's going to win or lose with that guy. And here's a thing to consider also. If Lamar Jackson, with all of his athletic ability, couldn't get away from the rush of the Chargers.
Specifically,
yeah. Right.
If he couldn't get away from the Chargers, what would make you think Flacco would do?
He could
better?
Beat him downfield.
Yeah, but one thing I got to say is I got the feeling watching this game, and look, at the end of the game, to me, the Chargers let them come back in the game. I mean, 23-3, they stopped playing.
They did.
But he had no confidence in the kid throwing the ball down the field, Carl. Didn't you get that impression watching
yes.
the game?
Well, you get that impression since he took the field.
Right.
Now, he has limitations at this point because he's a rookie, right? He's got to develop as a passer. There's no argument amongst anybody there. If anybody argues that, they're lost their mind. He's going into the fourth quarter, 25 yards passing. That's not going to get it done. So, but this is who they decided they would go with. They thought he was their best chance given the type of defense.
Would you have took him out? Would you have went to Flacco?
Yes, I would have. But I get it. I get why Harbaugh did it. Kudos to him. This is my guy. I'm going with him. I'm going to trust my defense.
But Carl, it was only his guy for 7 weeks. You've got a guy
on
the bench.
No, it was his guy when they drafted him.
No, I get that. But you have a guy on the bench who won a Super Bowl. It's not like just some regular backup.
The point is, if Lamar Jackson couldn't get away from the rush of the Chargers.
No, Flacco isn't. But Joe Flacco also has a better chance to beat you downfield with his arm.
Not if he doesn't have the time.
Well, yeah, and look, Lamar has a better chance of making plays with his legs, which he did, by the way, in the fourth quarter.
I mean, this is the kid that gives you the best, against what they were giving him. His escapability was their best chance, and if he couldn't escape, Flacco wasn't escaping either.
When that second half began, I understand what you're saying because the Chargers got a great pass rush. Melvin Ingram is one of the more underrated players in the league. Yep. But it looked like, as a 21-year-old kid, he's 22 today.
And he looked 21.
He's the youngest quarterback to ever start a postseason game. He just looked like he wasn't ready. And that doesn't mean he shouldn't be their guy next year.
He looked 21.
Yeah, which is fine.
But this is what you – listen, they scripted for him the minute he took the field as their starter. They gave him plays that he could run that would move their offense. They played good defense. One-game proposition. The opponent does what they have to do to get out of that game. He hadn't seen it. Harbaugh hadn't seen it. The adjustment was probably too much for the young quarterback.
Right.
But they thought he was their best chance, so they live with it. But the playoffs are different. It's a great experience for Jackson. Jackson has to now go home and continue to develop as a passer. They knew what he was. There was tape on him. And newsflash, folks, more teams are going to be doing what the Chargers did because it worked. And so now he's going to have to beat people with his arm and then employ his mobility.
What did you think of Dak on Saturday night?
Dak was Dak. He was about exactly what he's been all year. Steady, nothing spectacular, can make plays, capable and does make plays. And then he gives you a few where he overthrows wide-open guys.
Right. Mari Cooper showing up was a big help.
Yeah, he had a big game.
Yeah, and Mari Cooper. Zeke helped everybody, right?
Yeah, Zeke was great.
Zeke helps everybody.
Yep.
But it is – Dak is who he is. He is a capable quarterback, steady. I call him steady, and he's going to give you the same thing. They don't do a whole lot with him. But he's capable of making plays on his own, which he did. Big time.
And with his legs, too,
specifically. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
But, you know, in terms of his play, I don't know if you're going to get more than what you saw, but he's enough to win a game for you.
He's
very capable.
He's played two postseason games now, and in both of them, he played well enough to win. The first one against Green Bay wasn't on him.
Sure. I mean, I don't think the moment is too big for him. I just think he is who he is for their team. They give him the stuff that he can do well. He made some big throws in the game. He, like you said, he made some good decisions with the football, and he scored on his own. So I take that. I take that type of game management.
Two big plays with his legs, like you mentioned. Yep. One for the touchdown. Sure. The other one almost a touchdown.
Almost.
They ruled him down at the one.
Yeah, I mean, I take that. I take that in the playoff game because he didn't lose the game for a year, and I take that type of game management any day.
I got to bring this up, and I know we got Carl with us, and I got to throw this out there because the officiating in this playoff run was totally different than what we saw all year. They didn't throw the flags, which they shouldn't be. All year they're throwing
they
flag
have been. Yes.
after flag. Yesterday and Saturday, They were not throwing pet flags at all. And I got to go to the play, the controversial, most controversial play that we saw, okay? And
the that's dead the ball?
The pass to Anthony Miller that they said on the field was an incomplete pass. Then they reviewed a play, and they called it a catch.
Complete catch.
But because nobody, you know, because to me, the only reason that they called it an incomplete pass is because they called it incomplete, number one, okay? Nobody picked the ball up because they said the play was dead. Now, what was your thoughts on that play?
About what Al Michaels said.
What was the call to you?
For me, it was a catch and a fumble.
Right. Okay.
If the defense did not recover the ball, it should have reverted back to the offense at the spot of the fumble.
But let me ask you this. if they called it incomplete on the field.
Then it's incomplete pass.
But that's what they called it, incomplete on the field. So they stopped going after the ball.
Well, that's my point. Then there's no need for a replay unless you're going to determine that that ball was caught, it was not recovered.
Yeah, what are you reviewing? It's a great question.
Right.
What's he reviewing?
Right.
If it's incomplete,
and if you come back and say it was complete, a fumble not recovered by the defense offense ball.
Yeah, think about this, Joe. What are they reviewing? Because they review and they say, yes, it was caught. But since no one recovered it, which you knew before the replay, what the hell are we reviewing?
And the only thing that could happen is if the Eagles
picked it up
and ran it in for a touchdown.
It would have been their ball.
Right. They made a call. The touchdown back and said Eagles ball from the spot
of the
fumble.
That's what they would have done.
Right.
Yeah,
because the whistle blew.
Well, that's why defensive players just have to pick up the stupid football no matter what.
They do. They really do.
But here's my feeling on that play. If they had called it a catch on a field, then I agree with you. The Bears should have got the ball right there.
Sure.
But because they didn't, how can you penalize the Eagles now for not going after the ball when it's incomplete?
You penalize both teams.
Well.
Basically, because you took away a legitimate catch, you took away a legitimate fumble. So they just basically replayed the down.
That's what they did. That's what they did. It's too many rules, Carl. Too many stupid rules.
Listen, if a catch is reviewable, then if it's ruled a fumble and the defense does not recover it, the ball goes back to the offense at the spot of the fumble.
I think you're right. It's not ideal, but I think you're right. Because if it's a catch, it's a catch. Why should it change because no one picked up the football?
Right.
And even though the whistle did blow.
If the defense thought they had a fumble, they should have picked up the ball.
Right, no matter what. Because there's no penalty for just picking up the ball.
Sure. So I would say if I had to change a rule, say, hey, look, it's upon the defense to recover fumbles. If they don't, the ball goes to the spot of the fumble.
The problem is, this isn't on the officiating. This is on the rule book. And Joe has said this many times. The rule book is so complicated that you've got these professional officials who don't know the rules.
Because these types of situations don't happen. I'm sure there's going to be a rule book change, but that's kind of the beauty of the NFL because it unfolds before your eyes with things that
you've never seen before.
Yeah. So now they've got to make the adjustment to it.
The problem is these things we've never, because that's what people say the beauty of baseball is, you'll see something you've never seen before. These things are usually based on replay, and that's not an organic way of things you've never
seen
before.
But we don't have founding fathers for the NFL that wrote the Constitution that anticipated everything. I think they did, but then as the game changed, players changed, then you've got to constantly alter it.
They wouldn't recognize the game right now.
If I'm a Bear fan, what bothers me even more is that pass interference on Prince Amukamara. They're not calling pass interference at all. Nothing. They're not even calling face mask penalties. Now you're going to throw a critical pass interference when it was marginal at best.
When they don't call it, and then they call it, but he gave them reason to call it.
But come on, Carl. There was plenty they could have called.
No. You're right. The fact that they haven't, and then all of a sudden they show up and call it, the defensive player's thinking, hey, I can get away with this. They're not going to call this. It's not as egregious. I'm not draped all over the guy. Hand fighting, hands get tangled up. Play on is what it's been. Now they call that one. You're right. But then, you know, you also credit the Eagles. They knew Prince. They knew how to attack him. They had a little history with him.
They have gone against him.
This Nick Foles thing is so obnoxious, by the way. And it's not Nick Foles. It's Nick Foles magic. This is magic. I'm so sick of it.
I should have been betting him all along. I won 4 weeks in a row.
You know what's so interesting about
happy for you,
the interesting
Saints
thing about
50.
Nick Foles is that it's kind of the intangibles.
Yeah.
He motivates his team a little differently. They rally around him. You really can't explain it. I mean, he had two interceptions.
He did. Yeah. Bad ones.
Yeah, bad
one.
Great. End zone.
if Wentz is in at the end of the game, he probably makes the same pass
right.
to Golden Tate.
Except Parkey makes the field goal if Wentz is
right.
there.
Right. But it's just that there's something about the kid in Philadelphia with those teammates. They just rally around him, and they believe in him. I don't know if it's his steady demeanor. I mean, he's talking after the game. You wouldn't even thought they won a game.
No.
He's just, hey, yeah, I'm glad I was able to come in and do the job that they asked me to.
You know, he's halfway to Eli's postseason wins.
Awesome. Good for him.
You want him to?
Good for him. Hey, listen, Eli Manning is not the benchmark for all things quarterback, people. Let's be honest. You know, as much as he's criticized Eli, why would we even want to compare people to him?
Look, I'm not criticizing Eli.
He's not the benchmark for quarterbacking.
You know what's happening, though, because you're not oblivious. What's happening is – there's talk of, hey, you know, this Nick Foles, maybe he should be the guy to replace
Listen,
him.
Listen, every guy that has talent
yes,
that's available will probably be under consideration.
Do you think he'd have the same magic with the Giants?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But he'll have a coach he's familiar with if they decide that's who they
are. You know
what?
You made a good point, too, about Nick Foles. You know what? If you pay me the right money, I'll stay in Philadelphia where I can do no – I walk on water in
exactly.
Philadelphia.
Exactly. Yeah, here's the thing.
He really does.
Here's the thing with Nick Foles. They know exactly who he is.
Of course.
He's not the miracle worker. He figures it out as he goes. They give him great plays. He executes. But he's as prone to mistakes as the next guy.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, and his – you know – he throws two picks in a playoff game.
What, you know
and they
helps,
believe in him that he'll get it done.
You know what helps Nick Foles? Fletcher Cox is really good at football.
Oh, there you go.
He's got good football players on defense.
Of course.
So it helps him.
Their secondary played a marvelous game.
Listen,
yesterday.
I don't know if they can do it cap-wise. I guess an owner can do
it's
whatever
be
he wants.
It's tough to do it cap-wise.
Right. And the owner can do what he wants, and this is, well, the NBA would do it and deal with the consequences, but it doesn't make business sense for them to try to figure out how to overpay him. Now, if he gave them something that was hometown friendly, they probably could work it out. But
Joe, I understand your point that he could do no wrong in Philly. Don't you think he wants to start?
No, I think he probably does. But I mean,
he's been there before too.
But he goes somewhere else. Yeah. There's going to be expectations on him.
There will be expectations.
Now it's going to be a different feel for him now because you're not you don't have the cover of the Philly fans loving you now.
Right, like two interceptions.
Right.
Two interceptions in any other town is like, get this bum out of here. Right. Why didn't we sign him,
especially
right?
Especially the one he threw in the end zone.
Yeah. Oh,
where was he throwing at?
Yeah.
Especially if it was with the Giants, because I think they'd be even more heat on him.
Because he was an Eagle.
Because he was an Eagle.
Right.
He has familiarity with coaching. And I'll say it again, any player that's a free agent or attainable, I'm sure the Giants are going to look at. And just if he's of the right age,
I get
because
this impression.
You got a 38-year-old. He's not going to play forever. And if they think they could better the team, they'll either do it by way of the draft or by way of free agency. And Eli's successor will be on the roster.
I have this feeling that you secretly really want Nick Foles on the Giants. I don't know why. I just get this impression you like him.
I have a hashtag.
Yeah?
Things to share with Gettleman.
No, this is with you. I think you want
it. Well, I like that.
Things to share with Gettleman.
So you're going to share that with Gettleman?
No, you're
going to say, Dave,
Gettleman will tell you who he wants as his quarterback. I don't have a say in it. And
but you have an opinion. And
listen,
I think deep down you like him.
No, you know, I like who they like. Okay.
You don't like everything they like.
I like who they like at quarterback. I haven't been bashful by saying I'm an Eli Manning fan, but if they put the next guy in, I'm going to root as hard as I rooted for Eli to have success. So whoever they put in there, I'm going to root for.
Well, yeah, but that's the same with Joe and the Jets head coach. He wants someone specific. You may have heard of him, McCarthy.
Well, Joe didn't root for the last head coach.
No,
he did.
That's BS.
No,
of course
no,
he
no.
Did.
No, I'm rooting for my team. You think I want to see him lose? You think I care
I know you don't.
If I don't win a Super Bowl?
Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, rephrase that.
What I feel for Eli, the way I'm a huge fan.
Right.
Right? Joe was not a huge fan of the coach, but he supported the coach.
He wanted the coach to win, though.
Correct. Yes. I'm saying if you ask me how I feel, I'm a huge Eli Manning fan.
Right.
Aside from the fact that I root for him and I'll root for the next guy, I'm an Eli Manning fan. If you ask Joe, have you been a fan of Todd Bowles? He's like, No, but I support him. Well, I want him to win. I want the Jets to win. And when he does good things, I'm going to give him credit.
But to your point, if they hired Cliff Kingsbury, who's last on your list, right, Joe?
Oh, my
God. He doesn't want
Adam Gase is
Adam
last.
Gase. Adam Gase. He'd root for Adam Gase to succeed.
Of course he would.
Lombardi.
Of course he would. And he'd come in every weekend. I mean, every Monday and give him the business if he wasn't, you know.
Give him the business.
Fair.
Yeah. Just get that press conference ready for 3 years from now.
How did Kingsbury become the
hot? How is that? That's exactly. I'm going to ask you that. How is that possible?
Because his offenses have been effective in the Big 12.
In the Big 12, where I could coach and have an effective offense.
Yeah, listen,
where nobody plays defense.
Give me the guy who's had the best offense in the SEC. We can have that conversation.
Not even him, because Nick Saban couldn't make it as a head coach in the NFL.
No,
let's
but my point, my these, I'm just talking about from a level of competition.
No, I understand.
Big 12's not exactly, you know.
The kid in Oregon has a lot of success in the Big 12 too, right?
Who are we talking about?
The kid, Oregon quarterback, who everybody thought was coming out.
Yeah, but he's in the Pac-12.
That's the Pac-12. No,
right. There's not a lot of good conferences in football.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's having success. If you can. Yeah, I mean,
Pac-12, they're known for their
Big
points.
Yeah.
That's the funniest part about it. Everybody puts up 50 a game,
right,
or at least it seems that way.
Give me somebody that has been in a really competitive conference.
Call.
If he's not winning.
Or an NFL coach.
Call, there's
that,
not
right?
one college coach that I want coaching my
I
team.
I don't know. Maybe he's talented,
there's
but I don't know if he's
Jim
the coach.
Harbaugh.
Well, he's not really a college
coach.
Well,
but he's a college coach now.
Right, he is now. But that's
a
different story.
Let me just say this. I don't think this job, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't think this job should have a first-time NFL.
Amen.
I'm with you.
Amen. And you said that last weekend, and you said it really well.
I just
well.
Don't. I just
and,
think.
And hang around a couple minutes for what I'm going to have to say. I got to say something about this
All
now.
Right.
Because I'm getting very aggravated about it.
I'll be honest. I'm hanging around for this one.
When I hear the nonsense that is being spewed by some of these guys that cover the team, it is a freaking joke.
No. Here's the good news, though. They don't decide anything.
Well,
yeah.
You may have more pull than they do.
I doubt I got no pull at all. You know, I got no pull. But I'm going to tell you right now. Can I say this right now, Cole?
Yeah.
Do I have time? Let me say this right now, okay? The garbage that I have read this weekend, okay, from the guy in the Daily News, I'm not even going to say the name. I'm just going to tell you the papers. From the guy in the Post, from the guy that I read in the Jersey Record about the fact that Mike McCarthy, you know, he's not the slam dunk you think he is. My rear end. It is a joke. And look, I know John Harbaugh may be available, but I know Mike McCarthy's available now. The Jets cannot make the mistake that they have made over and over and over and over again. You can't hire Cliff Kingsbury. You can't hire Matt Rhule. You can't hire Adam Gase. McCarthy's the guy. 13 years, Super Bowl, 9 playoffs, 6 division titles, 50 games over 500. It is a no-freaking-brainer. No-brainer. It's not an entry-level job anymore.
No, you
got
it's not.
Thank you, Carl. You got a young quarterback who's ready to develop, who you want to win with now before he starts making the big money and it affects the salary cap and all that. You're $100 million under the cap. You got the third pick in the draft. You have to get this right. It's not about what you're reading from some of these guys in the paper. And some of these guys I like, one guy I don't like, the other two guys I like. But it is nonsense. The fact that you wouldn't hire Mike McCarthy because he's already won a Super Bowl and no coach has ever won a Super Bowl with two different teams is absurd. Because then why the hell did you hire Bill Parcells 20 years ago? Tell me that. It's a joke.
Yeah, I don't know why there's such resistance to McCarthy. I think when you look at the makeup of this team, I think they need that steady hand. This is not entry level.
No.
No disrespect to any of the whiz kids that come out, and maybe they can be hired as a coordinator with the Jets. Now they may be deserving of a head coaching job, but I don't think that this is
not
the
here.
Job.
No.
You need
go coach the Arizona Cardinals.
You need
okay?
a steady hand.
There you go.
Need a steady hand.
Go coach the Broncos.
And a guy
not
that's
here.
Got some on the job experience.
Enough. We're going to go to war with Cliff Kingsbury against Bill Belichick? Really? Really? Seriously? Is that what these guys really want? Come on, because you can't wait. Well, because 3 years from now, we got to have another press conference, don't we? Because that's all that matters. To another freaking press conference, and this time there'll be two because you'll be looking for a new general manager as well beside the head coach. It is a disgrace. And I like John Harbaugh, don't get me wrong, but I'm not – Harbaugh to me right now, there's too much complications. Who knows if he's even leaving. I got a guy like McCarthy sitting there right now. It is a no-damn-brainer. And the Jets better get this right, because if they don't, it's going to set it back again another 5 to 10 freaking years. Enough already. We've lost enough. Enough. Don't listen to this nonsense you read in the papers. These guys don't give a damn about the Jets winning or not. No, 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 no. It's crap. It's crap from all you guys. Or you all know who the hell you are. Matt Rule my ass. All right? Give me a freaking break. It's garbage.
Well said, my friend.
Thank you.
Carl, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you, man.
And we appreciate it.
All right.
Carl Banks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.